You're listening to the Simo and Jordan podcast. If listening persists, please see your therapist. Well, it's obviously too late for him. He's been listening far too long.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
Simo and Jordan with you.
And Simo, Chris Pratt, he's an amazing actor. I'm a big fan of him.
Yeah.
He's in, the Jurassic World, I think Parks and Rec and a couple of other things.
Yeah, he's been around.
And Simo, he posted a picture on his Instagram overnight of him solving a Rubik's Cube under 1 minute.
Well, you do know that he's obviously studied this stuff.
I was unaware.
So he was in the cowboy movie, The Magnificent Seven.
Yeah.
And his character in that movie knew magic, right?
I haven't seen a whole lot of, Western cowboy movies.
Yeah.
But
card tricks and stuff, you know?
Yeah, but still, you know, did he have, a wand in his holsters instead of all the rest had guns and, leather and he's, abracadabra?
No, it was, street magic, the cool version, or as cool as magic can get.
Are you sure you're not getting that movie confused with Now You See Me?
No.
Is that magic one with Jesse Eisenberg, and I think Old Mate who plays Harry Potter's in the second one.
Yeah, it's pretty good. No, legit, he learnt to get himself into the role for The Magnificent Seven.
Really?
His character learnt magic, so he learnt a whole bunch of, sleight of hand and card tricks and, all of those kind of quirky skills, if you like.
Well, Simo, you're a bit quirky. So have you in your time ever learnt how to do magic tricks or solve a Rubik's Cube?
I'm quirky, but I ain't got no skills.
Well, Simo, I wanted to put it to the test this morning I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I thought that Chris Pratt had just, magically done it or something like that. And it was doable in under a minute.
Now, there's instructions on YouTube and all of that kind of things. You can read the instructions on how to do it.
Yeah, there were instructions that came with the box when I bought this Rubik's Cube.
I cannot say how angry I was to see that appear at the very start of the show.
Well, Simo, do you want to give this a go? See if you can solve it in under a minute.
I'll give it a red hot crack.
Okay, hang on. So it's all perfectly solved now. So I'm just mixing it up a little bit just to make it more tricky.
Yep.
But I was thinking, what is a way of spicing this up? You could go for the Chris Pratt record, which is, under a minute.
Yes.
Or you could go for the official Guinness World Record.
Which is what?
Would you like to know or not?
Yeah, go for it.
I would, if it was me about to do this, I probably wouldn't want to know because it's very disheartening.
Yeah, it's, 20 seconds?
I think a bit less than that.
Right.
4.22 seconds.
Really?
Someone can solve a mixed up Rubik's
Cube. That's insane.
In under 5 seconds.
Yep, all right.
All right, so Simo, I have handed you the mixed up Rubik's Cube,
Yep.
I'm going to get my timer here.
Yep, righto.
Go give yourself a countdown from 3 to solve this Rubik's Cube.
But you count me down. I can't do two things at once. I'm looking at the Rubik's Cube.
All right. In 3, 2, 1, go. The timer has started.
Look.
Simo hasn't started moving it around yet. The Guinness World Record's gone.
Yeah.
Start moving it. You're just holding it in your hands, looking at it.
Let's go. All right.
11 seconds gone, 12 seconds. All right, Simo is moving around. Oh, he's got 3 green ones. you've got the 3 blue ones in a row. That's good.
This is thrilling, by the way, I assume.
23 seconds have gone.
Wow.
So far, Chris Pratt record looking safe. You're not even moving it. You're just rotating it around in your hands.
Right.
We're over halfway, 36 seconds. Come on, Simo. That's probably not the noise you want to hear. That doesn't ooze confidence. You looking at it going, 13 seconds. Come on, Simo. The final push to see if you can.
That's as close as I'll get. I'll get one side that close.
You've got the blue side. What is it? You've got 7 out of the 9 on the blue side and nothing else anywhere.
That's as close as I'll
get.
Well,
that's your minute up. And what have we learned now? That Chris Pratt is better than you, Simo, at solving Rubik's Cubes.
That's very true. He can have that record. I don't care for it at all.
You didn't even try. You just looked at it.
It's an annoying contraption. What was it even used? Did you do any research about the Rubik's Cube? Is it supposed to increase my mind or something, or
we'll go with that.
Good for motor function. What was the purpose of that?
Both of those.
Simo and Jordan.
Jordan, you're well travelled.
If you say so.
You've done a few overseas trips.
Not in the last 6 months.
Yeah, for good reason. Now, do you collect stuff when you go?
Do you mean buy souvenirs?
Yeah,
is that what you
souvenirs.
Normally just, I create memories.
Oh, really? Oh, that's how you remember your trips. Just
No, there's a lot of alcohol involved normally, so I normally forget them all.
The mirages.
Sometimes I'd buy a souvenir or two. Why? Okay.
What about just like grabbing some flora or fauna and popping it in your bag and taking it home?
What do you mean, like grass or something?
Yeah,
or
well,
a flower.
Yeah, I've had friends that I think they went to I can't remember which desert it was because there's a few, and all deserts I assume are pretty similar.
Yeah,
and they put a whole bunch of sand in their bags and brought it back to Australia.
Okay,
I don't know. It's like, what are you going to use that for? You're building some hourglasses. What's the go?
Well, can you actually bring that into Australia? Maybe sand's okay. I'm not 100% sure, but like plants and stuff.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure. I mean, I've watched Border Security. I'm pretty sure they don't like it.
Well, when I came back from Europe, I did exactly that because I had a bag that was full of crap and I didn't really know what I'd collected in there. I was at the check-in, like, waiting to go through the security, and there was just, like, me over the top of the garbage disposal, like, just shaking a bag out. It's like, what's that guy up to? It's like, I felt dodge doing it.
On the plus side, though, your bag was super light. Didn't have to pay for excess baggage.
That's it. Just should have chucked the whole thing in there. The reason I bring it up is because 15 years ago, Jordan, 15, we need something spooky, creepy. All right, 15 years ago.
Oh yeah, everyone remembers 2005. It was so scary.
A Canadian woman traveled to the Italian city of Pompeii.
I see, I've heard about that.
And she returned. Well, she returned home after taking several fragments of, like, ancient Italian tiles.
Ooh.
And, like, you know, bits of sculpture and crap that was there.
How was she just chipping off bits of sculpture? Did she have, like, a chisel or something?
Well, I think it was lying around. Now, do you know the story of Pompeii?
I roughly do. That's the one, like, ages ago, way before 2005.
Way long ago.
Wasn't there an explosion, like a volcano exploded?
Yes.
Is that the one?
Oh, yes. Hold up. That's this history lesson. You get a tick.
Thank you.
Okay, so Mount Vesuvius, would you have got the name?
Yeah.
No, you wouldn't have. What year? Do you want to have a stab at the year?
It's pre-2005, we know that. So that eliminates 15 years.
Yep.
1600.
Not bad. Year 78 it was.
Oh, so it was a bit off.
Yeah. So in year 78, Mount Vesuvius exploded. Ash, volcanic lava covered this city. And so the city is still kind of like semi-intact, like all statues and crap.
Mm.
Anyway.
Hopefully they say it better on their website then. Yeah, we're kind of semi-intact. All the statues and crap are fine.
And so what she's done is this girl, 15 years ago, she took some bits and pieces from the city, and then ever since then, her life apparently has been a just day after day of bad luck.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah. So she has since mailed back the pieces that she took 15 years ago, along with a letter that says, please take them back. They bring bad luck.
Well, do we know what bad luck she went through? Like, did she lose a job or something like that?
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of, there's a whole string of it. We don't have time for all of it.
I mean, there's 15 years worth.
It's a lot there. So she goes on to write, we are good people, and I don't want to pass this curse on to my family, my children, or myself anymore. Please forgive my careless act that I did years ago.
It'd be spewing if you sent them all back and all of a sudden the bad luck continued.
It's like now.
You're like, oh, well, I've still got bad luck. I might as well have kept that 20,000-year-old piece of sculpture that I have.
A spokeswoman for the Mount Vesuvius and Pompeii said that there'd been about 100 previous incidents of tourists sending back Pompeii artifacts back to the city with apologetic notes claiming the objects were cursed.
Oh, my God. This is a real thing.
How insane. Also, it's worth noting, this is the part that really stuck out to me. Okay, so in the letter, she also mentioned that she has given everything back that she took from Pompeii except for a tile she had given away to a friend.
Oh.
Now, reading into the bad luck and the curse, do you think that she's given that away to a friend?
Oh, I see what you're saying here.
Do you think it's a friend that she's giving it away to?
Oh, well, let's test this bad luck theory. Oh, Mary, I've got a present for you.
Do you know what would look really good in your new bathroom?
Yeah.
Just need, all the tiles are great, but I've got one that I think really suits.
I've got one. It's almost 2,000 years old and stained in ash and brings you bad luck. It'll look beautiful right next to the window.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
And Simo, I was going to bring this up yesterday, but I ran out of time, so I'm going to bring it up now.
What's up?
Over the weekend, I actually went and visited one of my friends.
Yes, you went to the Big Smoke.
Went to the nation's capital.
Into the borough.
And visited some friends that live there.
Yes.
And they very kindly offered me to stay at their place overnight, of which I gracefully took up their offer.
How did you go driving around Parliament House? Did you get anywhere near it?
Well,
did it suck you in with its gravitational pull? Because you know how you can. It's very difficult to get away from. It's always right there.
I know it is a bit. There's a lot of signs going when you go around Parliament. It's essentially one giant roundabout that goes both ways, and there's 27 exits that are there, and all of them are wrong.
It's like, we get you're important, like.
But no, I somehow managed to negotiate myself around Parliament House.
Okay,
and I had the address of where my friends lived, so I kind of typed that into the sat nav, and that just guided me there.
Away you go.
I turned onto the street that they live, and this is where I kind of ran into a bit of an issue.
Okay.
So they told me they lived at number 10 on this street.
Yes.
So I'm driving along. I've just turned onto it. Okay, so that house is number 2. So brilliantly even numbered houses are on that side. So I started counting them down as I was driving along. So there's number 2, there's number 4, there's number 6, there's number... And then I was looking for number 8.
Well, it seems like you've gone about, that's the done way, Jordan. That's how everyone does it. So you've not done anything odd there yet.
So I'd counted them down. Now, bear in mind, they live at number 10.
Yes.
So I was counting them down.
It's right next to number 8 and number 12.
Well, that's what I thought.
Right there.
That's what I thought. I got to what I thought would have been house number 8.
Mm-hmm.
And there wasn't a number on it.
Okay.
So I'm like, oh, well, that's obviously number eight.
Yeah.
So then I got to the next house, which by logic should be theirs, number 10.
10, yes.
But it didn't have a number on it either.
Uh-oh, okay.
So I kind of pulled up and I'm like, oh, well, that's...
That's 8, that's 10.
That's 10, that's what
right,
it's going to be.
Makes sense.
And I was walking into what I thought would be number 10.
Yeah.
And then I looked at the next house along, which by logic should be number 12.
12, yeah, I'm counting.
That was number 14.
So you only had 2 houses.
So I had 2 houses, but 3 possible house numbers to go with. Does that make sense?
Yeah. My logical conclusion is that we're dealing with a typo from your friends.
What do you mean?
Like they've given you the wrong, like it was a 1, not a 10.
It could have been 1.
Yeah. They've not...
Or a mythical house 0.
They've set you up there.
No, but I was kind of, so I was looking at it going, there's 2 houses there.
Yeah.
And there, but there's a missing number and I don't know which one it is.
So what did you do?
Well, I kind of looked at my phone and my friend had sent me a text saying, oh, I'm in the backyard, door's open, just come on in when you get here.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, Jesus. So I kind of looked at one house, door was wide open, looked at the other house, door was slightly ajar open. So I'm like, oh.
Got to pick one. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo.
That's what I did. I literally just picked one. I took a guess.
To be honest, though, like in the ACT, they only have federal police, so they wouldn't really care.
I'm pretty sure that's scarier than the normal police. The Fed's coming after me.
Yeah, but they're too worried about the big roundabout. Negotiating traffic away from Parliament House.
So getting traffic away from its gravitational pull.
So how did you go? Did you get the right house?
Well, I kind of guessed.
Yeah.
Tentatively walked up to the house that I thought it was. Kind of, even the doors open, sort of knocked on it. A little bit of a, hello?
And then just from within the house you heard, release the hounds.
No, I kind of, well, I didn't hear anyone, so okay. I kind of took a tentative step inside.
Yeah.
Hello, is anyone there? And then heard a voice that could only be described as, not my friend. And I ran.
Oh, did you run?
And I ran. Oh. I'm not ashamed to say it. I ran to the house next door. Which was the right one, thankfully.
Oh, dear.
And I'm sorry to whoever lived at number 8/12, because I don't know which one it was, but look, you had a very nice corridor. I'm sorry that I was there.
You know, you had a nice corridor. Well done. Well, so you didn't even, like, yell, sorry, and then run off?
It's probably weirder,
actually, isn't it?
No, I just ran. I thought that was the best case. I thought that was the best thing to do.
So then did you, once you're in the house next door, did you then have a look at, like, through the windows, like, looking through the curtains?
For the rest of the time there, I was, like, hiding from the neighbours next door.
Simo and Jordan.
And as the great philosopher Captain Jack Sparrow once said, weddings are love weddings.
Okay, have you said that?
So you've attended a few in your time.
Yep.
You have also... And none of them have taken place in odd places, I assume.
No, they've all been pretty traditional either in a church or garden setting.
That's it. Yeah, that's the decision-making process. Like, do we want it outside or do we want it within the sanctity of a church? Or do you want to get married at home? What do you want?
I think outside weddings are good, but because you're booking it in like 6 months in advance or whatever, it's very risky because it can be very much ruined by one thing, the weather.
Yeah.
If you've booked it 6 months out and then there's a massive thunderstorm on that day... It's ruined.
Wow. Yeah. It's,
you got to have a backup plan.
Tense moment. Well, this wedding has taken place somewhere different, Jordan.
Was it affected by weather?
No, I bring to you a wedding that has taken place in a Kmart.
Right.
So the bride is obviously walking down the aisles.
Yeah.
But the aisles aren't filled with people. They are, in fact, filled with...
cheap toys and clothes.
Whatever it is that they stock in that particular part of the store.
Do you know what department...
I believe
this woman was in.
I believe it was the Halloween, costumes and other stuff.
I was about to say that's a weird part of Kmart to get married in, but I mean, all of Kmart's kind of not in Kmart, but it's not the first place I would think of when it comes to weddings
to get hitched. So complete. She had a bridesmaid. She had the celebrant. And she even had a groom.
It's a weird phone. Okay, number one, yes, of course. Number two, it's a weird phone call to make to the celebrant just to say, oh, yeah, we're getting married. Can you come and marry us on this day? Sure, not a problem. I'm free. What church is it at? Well, it's not quite a church.
Now, the reason that it's happening in a Kmart, she's a little bit stressed about getting this relationship locked down.
Okay.
I've got a bit of audio here from the bride.
Hi, guys. I'm just finally making him commit, you know? Like, we're getting married now or, like, it's over.
That's my favourite bit at the end. There's just some random Karen with a camera phone shopping for barbecue utensils.
Going woo.
So, I
assume that this couple were like some kind of Kmart enthusiasts or something. That's why they were getting married. But
nope,
was the guy just either shopping or working at Kmart?
He was stocking the Halloween shelves.
Oh, so he was stocking the shelves. And
he was
then
ambushed by his girlfriend in full wedding gear.
And then the bride just said, let's get married now or it's over.
Correct.
That's an ultimatum.
Yes, it is, Jordan.
So what did you do at work today?
Well, I saw you, actually.
Where do I start?
If he's going home to his girlfriend who asks him that, she's crazier than I thought. How was your day, dear? Oh, well, I saw you today.
Yeah. Well, I was just stocking some cheap masks onto the shelf, and then you came along in a wedding dress with a celebrant.
So how would you react?
Well, it would be a bit of a shock. Is there backstory? Had they been planning a wedding and it didn't happen? Or
no, there's
is it just completely out of the blue?
No, out of the blue. This video has gone viral online, so no word on if he committed or not.
Okay.
But I do love the fact that there's some woman there that's just flicked the camera phone on.
Just some woman there just who's looked up from buying some kids' clothing or something and just going, hang on a minute, my five-year-old son. That I couldn't think of a name for.
There's something happening, my five-year-old son.
This is... Go take the Thomas the Tank Engine t-shirt. Go over there.
Yeah.
This is interesting.
And the fact that the bride has to... Like, she's clearly actually not done this for the viral video because she's explained herself. Like,
hi, guys. I'm just finally making him commit, you know? Like, we're getting married now or, like, it's over.
Woo! It's over! Love is dead!
And do we know whether that woo was for the wedding or maybe someone had just found a shirt they'd been really looking forward to? I'm just like, woo, the Halloween stuff's here! Woo!
The celebrant's been looking for a bat costume for weeks.
So the celebrant's like, while I'm here, I might just go pick up some stuff.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
And Simo, the AFL Grand Final, it is coming up in a couple of weeks' time and they have finalised the entertainment for it. Some interesting choices, I should say.
Yeah, I had a read of it.
Yeah.
There is one particular act I'm a little bit concerned about.
Yes, I don't know what act you're concerned about, but I feel it may be the same one that I am.
Okay, right, we'll find out.
But we will get to that. But you and I, we're both kind of semi-big fans of AFL.
Yeah.
And there is a chance that both of our teams are weirdly still in it.
Actually, that's true. Our two teams can meet in the grand final.
We've got to the final four
teams,
and there's a chance... So the other semi-final, whatever it's called, this weekend. Mm. And then next weekend could be very tense. That's on the show.
Very true.
If our two teams are lining up.
We could both be depressed by this weekend, though.
Oh, yeah, both lose, actually. That could be even worse.
Yeah, so...
But, Simo, people that have been confirmed to be there are the entertainment that happens pre-game, at halftime, and after the game as well.
Yep.
One I'm really looking forward to is Shepherd, who are from Queensland anyway. So
Say Geronimo. That's the Shepherd. They're from Brisbane, I believe.
Yeah, and the grand final will be played in Brisbane this year. Normally it's Melbourne because of Corona. That sort of thing.
Yeah, cool.
So that'll be good. There's a band called Electric Fields who I really like who are playing too, but here is where it gets a bit interesting.
Okay, yeah.
And Simo, I reckon this is the band that you're a bit concerned about.
Probably.
Also performing on grand final day is the Queensland Symphony Orchestra.
I'm not actually concerned about these guys. This isn't the No, I'm not concerned about it.
Because I'm just like, I mean, they're brilliant, don't get me wrong, but like, AFL footy pies, come on, 20,000 people or whatever is, football. And now let's get pumped up for the match, and you hear this. Yeah. You know, it just, you know, it's a bit, you know.
Yeah, but I assume they're probably going to do... They'll do something a bit more up-tempo, don't you think?
I don't know. I just YouTubed Queensland Symphony Orchestra, and that's the first thing that came to mind.
Like, they'll get a bit more of that, like the Beethoven stuff, maybe. Something a little bit more...
Oh, yeah, Beethoven, because back in Beethoven's day, he would get crowds pumping for every football match.
Well, like, this is a bit more... add a bit of drama, so, like, something like your... You know what I mean? Something like that. And the AFL Grand Final. See, you can definitely see that happening.
Well, what band were you concerned about? Because I thought it would be the Queensland Symphony Orchestra.
Oh, I'm worried, super worried about Wolfmother. Super concerned.
Oh, Wolfmother playing.
Yeah, Wolfmother. Oh, I see, you didn't even know.
No, I think it's the guy from Wolfmother, the singer, but he's got a new band.
Yeah, but it will be the Wolfmother tracks. There's way they're going to let him rock up to the AFL Grand Final.
Yeah, there's no way. So the singer from Wolfmother, he's got a new band, but there's no way. They're like, oh, yeah, we can do some of our original stuff.
They'll be billed as Wolfmother. Now, if you allow me to say, that first album, Wolfmother album, phenomenal.
I will not allow you to say.
Amazing. Simply sublime. Soundtrack to my life, Jordan, massive fan, right? But I'm sensing... With the Wolfmother boy, Andrew Stockdale, I'm sensing a Meatloaf-type meltdown is in the midst.
Well, it's interesting you bring up Meatloaf. Yeah. If you don't know, he performed 10 years ago almost now. And apparently there was some sound issues. I think the main sound issue was him being super drunk.
Yeah, him singing was
drunk or hungover. Yeah, that was the major sound issue.
That was the major sound.
Should we just remind ourselves of how bad it was?
Oh, boy. Okay. Oh, that hurts. Can we stop this now?
Well, this went on for 10 minutes during the I think it was 2011, 2012 maybe. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely some sound issues there, and I'm not sure that they're technical.
Yeah. Oh, Jordan, I'm so worried. I'm so concerned that my childhood favourite band is going to... come crashing down.
Just imagine that if you tune into the AFL Grand Final, your childhood band gets crushed, and then your football team gets crushed as well.
Let's not do that. Let's hope that Geelong make it.
Nah, Port have got it in the bag, mate.
And let's hope that Wolfmother absolutely turn it on.
I hope that.
Yeah, because you can't say that the mother don't deliver. They're phenomenal.
Sorry, just out of thought. Can you imagine? Do we have the Queensland Symphony Orchestra one again? Can you play that again?
Yeah.
Can you just imagine the guy from Wolfmother singing along to this? I don't know if it would make sound even worse than Meatloaf.
Nah, you get the mother will turn it on. They have to, because they're phenomenal. This will be pumping. It's going to be the best. I have to believe that, Jordan. I can't let myself think that this is going to go badly.
Well, fingers crossed.
Come on,
Simo and Jordan. This is the end, but only of today's podcast. And remember. Don't move toward the light.
No, go toward the light.
No, don't go toward the light.
You've got to go toward the light.
Don't listen to him.
Yes.
Shut up.
Right.
To hear Simo and Jordan live, join them for Takeaway on air weeknights from 7 across the Capital Radio Network.
Yeah. That should do it.